Just to share with you that Helen and myself and Pastor On and Pastor Shane and Pastor Henry had the privilege of being in Melbourne for the annual CMA Council. The CMA meets every year somewhere in Australia, and all representatives from all of our churches come. There are 69 congregations of the CMA in Australia, and most of them were represented at council. And we had a day of business when we heard reports and all of that. But on Friday morning, there was a time given by the chairman just for anyone to share what God was doing in their hearts. And I have to tell you, this was the most meaningful and exciting hour and a half that I've spent at our annual council for many, many years. One Chinese brother got up. He's a statistician. He loves studying the ABS on the internet, on his computer. And so he had all these statistics. You know, we keep hearing about Chinese immigration to this country and immigration from different places. But he had statistics showing that the immigration in the last 3 years from India, Pakistan, and Central Asia has now exceeded Chinese immigration to this country. And I was reading the other day that in just 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, the number of immigrants coming into Australia was around 200,000. This year it's 400,000. 400,000. I mean, we walk the streets of Melbourne, and Melbourne is like walking around Sunnybank. And every city in this country is the same. And this country is just a country of immigrants. But with what's going on between Australia and India at the moment, whatever view you have on that, the reality is that God is bringing increasing numbers of people from the subcontinent to this nation. And it was just so exciting to hear people from all of our churches around the country, and God is doing something in all of us very similarly. And there are some very, very innovative outreach programs going on in Western Australia, in Adelaide, in Melbourne and Sydney to reach migrant people. Not just teaching English and all those traditional things that we often do, but some very, very wonderful and exciting things in terms of counselling and meeting the needs, the real needs of people. So I wanted to share that with you. I've been revived in my spirit. We had a speaker from the Appleton Alliance Church in Wisconsin. His name is Danny Episcopo, and he's a I kept saying he was the Danny DeVito of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He's an Italian who was brought up in New York City and made that transition to live out in rural USA. And there he took a church from a few hundred. Currently it's running at about 3,000 members. They're building a $20 million auditorium. But, you know, you hear these stories of big churches in America, but this is being led by a godly man whose eyes is on Jesus. And they have a vision that in the next few years, when they move into their new facility, they're going to be giving between $3 and $5 million every year to the Great Commission Fund from one church. And he meets every year with 25 other pastors from mega churches in the CMA. And they just had a four-day conference in Mexico. And he'd come from Mexico straight to Australia. And those 25 churches contribute 60% of the budget of the whole CMA in North America. And they're all guys who are switched on for Jesus and doing some amazing things. So we've been encouraged. We felt that there was a big affirmation that of the way God's been leading us here at Southside to really come together, especially for the sake of our second generation. So that was good. Just a few announcements. I really want to see every one of you next Saturday night for celebration night. This is really going to be fun. Now, we've changed the venue. It's not going to be over at the school. We're going to be at the Uniting Church at Sunnybank, where we were for that dinner with Beth Lamarty the year before last. We could have gone to the school, but it turned out that the logistics of carting chairs and everything over there was going to be a horrendous job. So thank the Lord for our Uniting Church brothers. The pastor there is a really good friend of mine, Andrew Ross, and they've opened up their facility. They've got a lovely facility, big kitchen. So 5 o'clock. will be there. Encourage you to bring finger food. There's going to be a sausage sizzle. And our Chinese friends especially. I mean, if you want to do this, you who have a Chinese background, you can make your dumplings. But I know the Mandarin folk are really going to be into making dumplings on that night. June, you're looking really worried. Did we sort out about the sausage sizzle? It'll be okay. She's looking really worried, but Derek and Marilyn have stayed back today. They've gone on a sentimental journey back to the church that they pastored up in the hills above Melbourne. So that's what they're doing today. But we'll get things organised during the week. But please come. And then, of course, the following Sunday is our Connections Day, which is really the vision of Marianne Beecher. And I can tell you from an email I saw this morning that at least 16 ministries have already said, yep, we're going to be here advertising. So for lunch on the 21st, we're going to have all the ministries of the church being advertised in creative ways. And you'll be able to sign up for Bible studies, for CTP, for the seminars, for discipleship, and all the other things that we're going to be involved in, for MOPS, and all of the ministries will be here. And I think you'll be amazed when we see in one place all the ministries that are actually going on in this church. You hear about MOPS and you hear about CTP from time to time from the pulpit, but next week you're going to have an opportunity to see everything, including our short-term mission trips and everything. So please come next Sunday and bring finger food. The idea is that you grab a little plate of food and then you'll be able to move around the tables. Hopefully it won't be raining and we can use out there as well. Did I say next Sunday? I meant to say the Sunday afterwards, the 21st. Next Saturday night is the celebration night. The Sunday after is the Connection Sunday. Frienda, where are you? Stand up. Let's welcome Frienda. Some of you don't know Frienda, but she came to know Christ in this church back in 2003. I ask her every time she comes back. And it's so lovely to see a young lady who has made it the goal of her life to grow into spiritual maturity. And she is now leading an outreach ministry in Hong Kong. And she's here for a holiday and heading down to Tasmania this week. I told her we'd pray for her protection from those Tasmanian devils and all the other big hungry animals that are down there in Tasmania. It's lovely to have you with us. And for anyone else who's visiting, if you're here for the first time, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so lovely to have you with us today. Now, this morning, we are entering into a new series of sermons. And you'll have an outline in your bulletin. There's going to be a PowerPoint there. If you need a pencil, have we still got pencils we can get to people? Does anyone need a pencil? If you need a pencil, just slip your hand up and we'll get a pencil to you. We'd really like you to be able to follow by filling out the gaps. There aren't too many actually in this sheet today. The way I figured it out, I think there are 24 or 26 messages in Galatians to cover the whole book. So I'm going to be, each time I'm in the pulpit, apart from Christmas and Easter, I'll be in the book of Galatians, and others will be preaching. Of course, we're so blessed here at this church to have other preachers, so others will be sharing from time to time. But today we're going to begin this series of messages in the book of Galatians, a book written by the Apostle Paul. This book and the book of Romans set forth the magnificence of the gospel of Christ. Now the reason I have chosen to preach through the book of Galatians is simply this, that at the beginning of last year, over a period of several months, the Holy Spirit really just simply laid this on my heart. It was something I couldn't escape. And so as I began to prepare these messages, and as God also laid on my heart to prepare messages on the subject of discipleship, which we've now finished, I saw a wonderful correlation between the two. And so over these months, I'm going to be looking at these passages in Galatians through discipleship lenses. So the foundation that we've laid the last few weeks about discipleship, we're going to build on that foundation for the rest of the year. Now this little book, has been described as the Magna Carta of the New Testament. In the introduction in the Tyndale series on the book of Galatians, Alan Cole says this about the book, and I quote, "The epistle to the Galatians is spiritual dynamite, and it's therefore almost impossible to handle it without explosions," end quote. And I'm praying that in my own heart and your heart there'll be lots of dynamic Holy Spirit explosions as we go through this wonderful little book. The great spiritual giant Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformation, was moved in his heart when he read the book of Galatians. And of course, he brought back that great truth of justification by faith. Where did he get that from? He actually got that from the Old Testament in a book called Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, if you want to say it that way. The just shall live by faith. Actually, Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and the one that God used to save England from a revolution like France, the Great Awakening that occurred, the revival that swept across England under Wesley, he was converted through listening to a sermon from the book of Galatians. So this little book is just full of life. And my prayer is that all of us will be impacted by the Word of God as never before. Now, this book does two major things. It exalts the cross of Christ, and it expounds the power of the Holy Spirit. Those two themes run right through this book from beginning to end. Every one of us, whether you're here this morning and you're still exploring Jesus, you actually haven't taken that step across the line yet to become his follower. And for those of us who've already taken that step this morning, we all of us must come to a place where we are one day in our pilgrimage, in our walk, one day we are broken by the cross of Jesus Christ. We're all independent people. We like to think that we can run our lives independently of God. But God brings us to a point many times through some difficult circumstance where we realize we can't keep going by ourselves. And at that point we are broken at the foot of the cross. But the wonder is that Jesus doesn't want to just break us. After that, he wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He wants to heal us and empower us so that we can live for him every day. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we come towards the end of the message this morning. So it's my prayer that as we work our way through this, what I've called a tiny packet of theological dynamite, that God will really do something in all of our hearts. And that above everything else, whether you're a Christ follower yet or not, and even if you are a Christ follower, that every single one of us in this room will fall in love with Jesus. Have you ever fallen in love with Jesus? If there was a day that you did and your heart's a bit cool this morning, I'm praying that you'll fall in love with him all over again as we go through this wonderful little book. Because in this book, he is portrayed as the only and the unique Saviour of the world. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Could we stand together, please, and read this passage? First five verses of Galatians. Let's read it together in unison. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever and the age to come. Amen. Father, would your Spirit come right now and take these very weak lips and this pretty foggy mind, and take all of our ears, and especially our hearts and our wills, and speak to us, Lord. We're ready to listen and to obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, having read this little passage, I just want to deal with it this morning in two main sections. And both of them relate to the message that Paul is bringing to us in these first five verses. The first point is simply this. I want to talk about the authority of Paul's message. The main thing that Paul is doing here, right at the beginning of Galatians, is defending his apostleship. Now, if you read all the letters of Paul, you'll discover that he does this many, many times. Because he came after the other apostles. And there are a whole lot of people in the religious world of his day who couldn't stand Paul. And they kept questioning his authority to speak for God and for Jesus Christ. So he defends his apostleship. In verse 1, he calls himself an apostle. What's an apostle? A messenger of Christ. Thank you, Scott. The literal rendering of the Greek word for apostle is just a sent one. A messenger of Christ, a sent one, or one who is sent. And this is the general sense of the word in the New Testament. Now, from Southside, we've sent Michelle Kim on the Doulos, and she's still going to be doing some sort of missionary work. We've sent Cha to Vietnam. I've been talking to him during the week. And we've sent Vinay and his team to the Philippines, and others have gone out. These are sent ones. In one sense, they are apostles of Southside International Church to other parts of the world. In 1983, I knelt with Helen in front of a few hundred people on the stage at the ordination meeting of the General Council of the Christian Missionary Alliance, being held at that time in Sydney. And the members of the ordaining council laid their hands on me and declared me to be an ordained pastor of the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Australia. Now, many years before, that ordaining council had told me that if I wanted to go on this pathway, I should go to the Bible College and get myself a Bachelor of Theology. So I went and got a Bachelor of Theology so that I could be ordained. But that ordination that I received was from men. That was the legalistic side of it. So I went before the ordination council and they examined me, and it was tough stuff in those days. It still is, I guess. Lots of papers to be written and then lots of oral examinations that went on for 3 or 4 hours on every subject, from God, the Holy Spirit, through to the nature of the Bible, ecclesiology, the church, and all of those wonderful things. And their decision, thank the Lord, was that I should become an ordained minister. But let me say it again, that's the only kind of minister that I am. One set up by men. Paul said, I'm not that kind of an apostle. Men actually had nothing to do with it. I'm an apostle directly by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, of course, there's a sense in which I could now, on the other side, give you a story of how God called me over many years, and I sense that God has called me. But I wasn't riding a horse on my way to Damascus to kill Christians, and I didn't see a big flash in the sky like the Apostle Paul did. Wow, how would you be? What a conversion. He knew he was an apostle called by Jesus Christ. In fact, in Galatians 1:1, he explicitly denies that he is actually an apostle in the general sense, because he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or through men. Makes it very clear. I was not made an apostle by any council or any church. Rather, he continues in verse 1, through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So the one who sent Paul on his mission was Christ himself. So Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, by the will of God. Paul was clear about this. Paul wasn't just representing the church in Antioch when he went out on his missionary journeys. Because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? And in 1 Corinthians 15 he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus appeared also to me. For I am least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, for I persecuted the church of God. Actually, Paul is saying, I was just an aborted fetus, and the Holy Spirit breathed life into me. Wow. He knew that he was called by God. And so from these two texts we can see that Paul was an apostle in a particular sense. A sense of a man who had actually seen the risen Christ. And not only seen him, but as his words imply, was commissioned by him to go out and become a missionary to the Gentiles. In Ephesians 2:20, we read that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So here Paul had now joined this elite band of apostles who once walked the mountains of Capernaum and Galilee with Jesus himself. Paul knew in his own heart that he had a unique place in the whole redemptive history. God had given him an authority which he would pass on. He would pass on not just in his person, but he would pass on in a book called Galatians and a number of other books. In 2 Corinthians 13, I write this while I am away from you, in order that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and for not tearing down. Now the authority that Paul had rested on his apostleship. He had seen the risen Christ. Christ had commissioned him to become his representative to preach the gospel with authority. And the Spirit of Christ entered him and helped him to write the book of Galatians and other books. Now, so what? This fact of Paul's apostleship has huge implications for you and me sitting here this morning. And let me try and tell you what it is. It means that as you and I read the book of Galatians, we are hearing the risen Christ. God is speaking to us through this course. An apostle speaks with authority, the authority of the message that he gives is there because someone commissioned him and sent him and caused him to write it. So every word in this book of Galatians is a word from the God of heaven. Now it really, really bothers me when I hear people, and I hear it over and over again, I hear people asking Jesus for some special message, or for some special revelation. Deep down secretly they wish that God would give them a dream or a vision. But those same people, my observation is, often make very, very little effort to seriously study and understand the Word of God that has already been revealed to us. It's so easy to seek for solutions to our problems. Today, in this world, we can go to counsellors, we can go to psychologists, we can go to doctors, we can go to our friends, you can even come to Roger and Helen. Or the elders. When the answer actually lies in your Bible. The problem is we don't take time to read the scriptures and apply them to our lives. That's why you will never hear me stop encouraging you to get involved in CTP. And I'm going to keep doing it until you get sick of me. Do you remember my big claim that I made a couple of weeks ago about Southside? I actually said that the goal of your leaders is that we would become the most spiritually mature church in the nation. Is that an arrogant statement? I don't believe it is. I think this is what Jesus wants for all of us. How can that happen? It will only happen when all of us, everyone sitting here this morning, learns to feed ourselves from the Bible. I was so thrilled with Nikki this morning. I gave her her certificate for book two. And I'd emailed her a couple of weeks ago and said, would there be someone who could help me advertise CTP for our Connections Day? And she's all excited, and she's going to be working this week on 7 techniques of Bible study. Just to show you that when you do the CTP, you can learn how to study the Bible and feed yourself and others. We equip you in this training to actually feed yourself, become a spiritually mature person who could actually take another little group of people and begin to feed them also. Now, some of you are actually about 40 of you, according to the statistics, the data that I have studied in the last week, nearly 40 of you have graduated from Book 6. Many have gone back overseas. And some of you are saying, oh, I want something more, I want something else. Go back and revise it. Learn how to feed yourself if you're not doing it consistently. Go back and get hold of those simple principles and begin to feed yourself. And maybe ask God, is there a little group of people that I could begin to feed through the Word of God from the way you've trained me and helped me? We've set ourselves a very, 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 very big task that over the next year or so we are going to create pathways of discipleship for our children, teenagers, young adults and more mature folk in the church. Already there are many things in place, but we've actually got a long way to go. And your pastors in Melbourne this week were very excited. We're talking about ways that we can make this so crystal clear for every one of us, so it can be applied in the Sunday school, in the teen work, and here amongst us as adults. We want to become a people who understand and live by the principles of the Word of God, so that a skeptical world looking on at uni and in your workplace and the neighbours looking over the fence will see and experience Jesus Christ. Now, the second point of the message today is this. We've talked about Paul's apostleship, the fact that he was commissioned by God. The second thing that comes out of this message is the content. The authority of Paul's message, the content of Paul's message. Now, this is in verses 3 to 5. We could sum up the content of Paul's message as grace and glory. The content of verses 3 could be summed up like this. Grace now comes to you. That's in verse 3. In verse 5, glory goes to God, for Christ has died for our sins and freed us from this present evil age, in verse 1 and verse 4. And verse 3 offers grace and peace to the Galatians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as like an ascription at the end, in verse 5, he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So all the glory goes to God. So sandwiched between the grace to you and the glory to God, sandwiched between them is what? The death of Christ for your sin and my sin, and the offer of freedom that you and I can be delivered from this present evil age. What does it mean to be delivered from this present evil age? Actually, Jesus prayed for us in John 17. Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. Or keep them from the evil one. That's what Jesus prayed for us. The present age is described in the Bible as an evil age because sin has such a grip on your life and my life, and sin also has a grip on all the institutions of the society in which we live. From the school system through the banking system to all of the commerce, everything where you work is under the grip of sin. We live in an evil age according to the Bible. And actually, Satan still has lots of power, if you hadn't woken up to that yet. He was defeated at the cross. His head has been crushed. And God's got him on a chain. But actually, the chain has been let out a little bit. And he's still described as the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel in the glory of Jesus Christ." But for those who are in Christ, now listen to me, because some of you are just brand new in Jesus, some of you have been going for a few years, and you've discovered the Christian life isn't so easy. Some of you have really tripped up along the way. But listen, for those of us who've trusted Christ, whether it was last year or 50 years ago, a liberation has begun. A liberation has begun that is going to go on and on and on until we either die or Jesus comes back again. In Colossians 1:13, God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His Son. The reason that you and I are no longer to be enslaved to fear and guilt and anger and pessimism and selfishness and greed and pride and all the other things that are characteristic of this present evil age is that we have, according to Hebrews chapter 6, we who are in Christ have tasted the powers of the age to come. Some of us might have only just had a little taste and then we've sort of slipped back again. For freedom, in chapter 5, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Therefore stand fast and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We're not yet in the age to come. But when Jesus died in this present evil age, in the present age, he went to be with God. And we're told that everyone who receives Jesus as their Saviour, from that place of authority in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, he sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts back here in the present evil age. And Paul says in Galatians, we've been delivered from this present evil age. And you're sitting there this morning thinking, I came to Christ a few years ago and blow me, I'm not feeling very delivered. I'm still slipping up. I'm still bound in sin. Brothers and sisters, can you get this morning? This is the wonder of the gospel. I said that Galatians had two characteristics, the cross of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit from heaven has come to live in your heart and my heart in the present evil age so that the blessings of the age to come can become ours in the present evil age. What's going to happen in the age to come? I'm going on Tuesday to remember a memorial service. I watched my friend die last Saturday. Well, it was only 3 hours, but we knew he was going. And I was thinking a lot about heaven and earth and all of those things. What are the characteristics of the age to come in the book of Revelation? We read, and I read as I prayed in Ian's ear 3 hours before he died, I read the book of Revelation chapter 7, where there will be no more tears. Where there'll be no more injustice. Where we'll be able to see clearly. We'll look at the face of Jesus and not like through a dirty mirror now, but we'll see him as he is. Friends, we're not there yet, but through the Holy Spirit, we can experience the blessings of the age to come. And one of those blessings, according to the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, is that you and I can be delivered from this present evil age. I don't know how I can describe this to you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is come upon you. In fact, he said, the kingdom of God is in you. Now, I've got a glove here this morning. I'm going to put this glove on. We're told that when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. He's living in us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. The future age, the present future age has come and the kingdom of God is in you. You know, the Holy Spirit is really friendly. And the Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. And sometimes we sort of struggle in praying to the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to pray to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I hear people pray through their whole lives and they only ever pray to the Father. Or if they get really bold, they sneak Jesus in too. But actually, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is living in you, he is so friendly. And we should be so close to the Holy Spirit that when he prompts us, we can just act according to his ways. What's the Holy Spirit's purpose? The Holy Spirit has two main purposes. One is to help you live a holy life. He prompts us when sin tempts us. The kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit is living within you. The Holy Spirit also is sent to empower us for Christian service. And I believe with all my heart there's a whole lot of young people sitting in this room this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to start talking to if he hasn't done already, and many of you are actually going to go and live in another country other than Australia. You think it's really lovely and comfortable here in Australia. Some of you students really want to stay here because it's such a lovely country, but I tell you, when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, he might want you in Mongolia with Alison Dench where it's minus 18 degrees this morning. Or with Daniel Weinholz teaching English up there in northern Korea where it's freezing cold. And when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, you'll be able to just act according to his promptings in your life. I don't know whether that makes sense. Do you remember the hub of the wheel we looked at last week? The hub of the wheel. What does a disciple look like? Worship, connected to God, the Word of God, fellowship, connected with our brothers and sisters. What was the other one? Witnessing. Thank you, Sarah. Sharing Jesus with other people. So the hub of the wheel. The hub of the wheel. Our biblical world view, the biblical world view of the Christ follower has made another king and another kingdom and another age the central focus of our lives. Amen? Christ is the center of our lives. Paul said in Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So deliverance means that our hearts and our minds have been so changed that we will now derive all of our satisfaction from the hub, not from this present evil age. Because he said, I'm going to deliver you from this present evil age so that you can love me and serve me. He said, I don't want you to drink at the wells of this present evil age because they're polluted. Jesus said, drink of the water that I'll give to you. The water that I give to you is going to fill you up. It's going to bubble over and bless other people. And if you drink of this water, you'll live forever. That's what Jesus promised. So the blessings of the age to come, through the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, have broken into this present evil age so that you and I can be delivered and become all that Christ wants us to be and do. Amen. You know, this message today actually highlights a great biblical paradox. Because the true disciple of Christ has been freed through the cross from this present evil age and now delights to submit in authority to Jesus Christ. So we're talking about two things. Freedom and submission actually go hand in hand. In fact, brothers and sisters, you can't have one without the other. Submission and freedom are actually corollaries of each other. You can't have one without the other. I am married to Helen. We've been walking this pathway together now for 42, I was going to say long, but actually it feels very brief, 42 brief years. And the Bible says that men and women are actually to be subject to one another. And one of the reasons Helen and I are still together is because we have learnt that freedom and submission are essential for an enduring marriage. It's a paradox, but it's God's way. Freedom and submission. It applies in all sorts of aspects of life. I am a pilot by training. And if I did not learn something about submission, I would never enjoy the freedom of soaring through a blue sky. I have to submit to all sorts of rules and regulations and laws of God in order for that little aeroplane to defy gravity and fly. You wouldn't want to come flying with me if I'd just read the book, would you? I know all about flying, you know. I've read the book, so come and hop in. Freedom and submission go hand in hand. Using a computer, you guys who are a little deeper and actually write programs and stuff, there are rules to be obeyed. You can't just go in and do everything, anything. You have to submit to all the rules and then you get the freedom and the wonder of using that marvellous machine. As I say to the bank teller every time I go to the bank, she says, I'm sorry, our computers aren't working today. You ever had that experience? And I just smile and say, they're wonderful when they're working. But freedom, submission and freedom go hand in hand. Most of you are students studying for a degree. You need to know a little bit about submission and freedom. If you want the freedom of working in the future and getting a good salary, right now you're going to submit and study hard. otherwise it's not going to happen. Cooking a cake. If you want a carrot cake, Sarah, Terry's a great chef, and he's learning to become an even better one. And when it comes to the cooking in the kitchen, he'd better submit to the recipe. He'd probably make a few up himself. But if you want the freedom of enjoying Tom Kha Gai soup, then you better put in the galangal and the chicken and all the bits and pieces, because it won't taste right unless you submit to the recipe. You getting the idea? Using a GPS in your car. Submission and then freedom. Sailing a ship. I mean, we could go on and on. This is the word from Galatians chapter 1 this morning. Submit and be free. Submit and be free. Submission first to Christ and then to his word is always the pathway to deliverance from this present evil world and eternal life and the age to come. Grace and glory to God. So with these incredible truths in our minds this morning, let's just praise the Lord. What's our last song this morning, Marianne? Have we got a song? Okay, we're going to sing, but let's pray. Let's just pray. I've been really burdened about this message, and I'm sure there's someone here this morning to whom God has spoken. All of us are in this present evil world, and we get messed up. We get embarrassed with ourselves. We feel we've let others down. We feel we've let God down. And this present evil age has got hold of us again. And this morning maybe you've seen that through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible, because the Word of God says Christ died in order to deliver us from this present evil age. Now, that's not just to forgive us so that we've got a ticket to heaven one day. He wants to deliver us not only from the penalty of sin, but from sin's power in our lives every day. So as we sing this song now, I'm actually going to wander into the room where the babies are. You know, one of the blessings of the age to come is there'll be no more sickness. And some of you are here this morning and you're really struggling with health. I've got some oil in my pocket. We don't do this enough in the English congregation. I've been so challenged by my brother Shane in the Mandarin congregation in recent weeks. They've seen some miraculous healings. One old lady actually threw her crutches away and ran around the other day at the New Year's Eve celebration telling everyone Jesus had healed her. Now, if you're sick this morning, the blessings of the age to come through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus' cross are available to you this morning. So whatever your need this morning, if you need to be delivered from sin, if you need God to touch your body, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to invite Philip and maybe, what other elders are here today? Maybe Kenneth and Scott, you'd come with me. And we're going to be there ready just to pray for you. If you haven't stepped over the line to follow Jesus this morning, if you know you're in the grip of this present evil age, Jesus has died to deliver you from this present evil age. You can come to Jesus this morning. So whether you need to come to him for the first time or come to him for some other need, just come. We're your brothers and sisters. We love you. We want to pray with you and help you this morning.
Thank you, Roger. We'll sing our last song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, as well as the benediction as well. So, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Please stand.
Full in his wonderful face.
thoughts upon Jesus.
Jesus has done on the cross and what he wants to do for you today through his Holy Spirit. I'm sure someone here this morning needs to do business with God. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to wander over to that room, and if you'd like to come and have us pray with you this morning, please come. Come to Jesus and meet all of our needs. Lord, we just bless you for the wonder of the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would prefer to die a bloody death on a Roman cross than have us continue to be enslaved by sin. Oh, help us to respond to that love and fill us with your Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you live in us. Trinitarian God, magnify your life through our bodies to a skeptical world this week. In Jesus' name I pray.